Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Lord, in this life, sometimes it seems that the yoke of following you is hard. And we pray for help in that as we look at your word this morning. Teach us, train us, rebuke us, encourage us, lead us on, change our hearts. Help us to delight more in you and your will and your ways by the power of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dan Walker is well known. He's a BBC TV presenter on their breakfast programme, and he's a Christian. And he's just been interviewed by Premier Christian Radio for a broadcast this coming Saturday. And he was asked this: when you've spoken about some elements of your faith, including creation and the Sabbath, some of the national newspapers have attacked you for it. How have you navigated that? And he said this: "I never mind what people write about me or say about me, because as a Christian, I don't take my value from what people think about me. I know that I'm valued. I can't control all those hurtful, hateful things that people say about me, about my family, about my faith. I'm thankful that I've developed the skin of a rhino." And it goes on. And you can listen to that or read it. You can read it now on the Premier Christian website. He says, "I don't take my value from what people think about me. I know that I'm valued." See, as someone who follows Jesus, he's a child of God. He's in Christ. His value is there from the Lord himself. Whatever the other broadcasters say, whatever they say on Twitter about him and what he thinks, he's in Christ. He's a child of God. Now, opposition can be very difficult, can't it? It can hamstring our faith. It can even destroy us. The Lord Jesus, speaking about the four soils in the parable of the sower, says in Mark 4:16, others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. I wonder how you do with trouble or persecution because of the word, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is hard at the moment, isn't it? There's a lot of stress around, anxiety and emotional pain, and this can add to it, the fact that when we stand as a believer, perhaps in our family, amongst our friends, in our workplace, there's opposition. Maybe for you the fear of that opposition stops you and holds you back in living things out at work, in saying things when you're amongst friends. Last week we were encouraged to fix our eyes on Jesus. Life with Jesus is like running a marathon, the writer tells us. And faith in Jesus can be hard sometimes, but we need to keep pressing on with our eyes fixed on him who's run it before us, and he's the goal. The writer encourages us to throw off all that hinders, he says. Throw off all that hinders in verse 1. Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And now he includes the fear of opposition to those he's writing to. He says to them, be bolder, effectively, be bolder in your witness, seeing opposition as our Father's plan for transformation, even though it's difficult, so that we grow in holiness with each other's help. Be bolder in your witness, seeing opposition as our Father's plan for transformation, even though it's difficult, so that we grow in holiness with each other's help. So be bolder in your witness. Be bolder in your witness. There's a real temptation, isn't there, that the prospect of opposition holds us back. Maybe amongst the people who you're with every day, wherever that is. You'd like to perhaps say something about Jesus when a topic comes up in conversation, but you think that if I say that, they're just going to laugh at me. Perhaps at work, you'd like to do things a particular way in your workplace, but everyone would disagree. You'd be a pariah. The writer says to those that he's writing to, and to us through that, be bold. Be more bold than you are now. Have a look at verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? In your struggle against sin, he says, he's bringing to completion something he's been talking about for the last two chapters. He started right back in chapter 10. So all this faith stuff, remember faith in chapter 11 verse 1, confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see, the whole list of ancient people who had faith in what God promised, even though they couldn't see it. And all that we heard at the beginning of chapter 12 last week, all this fixing your eyes on Jesus, all of this is because of what it means to be a Christian when we faced opposition. Chapter 10, verse 32, remember those earlier days after you did receive the light, he says to them, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. They need to know that this is worth it. That when this happens again, it's not, oh my goodness, can we hide from this as much as possible? But yes, let's stand for Jesus in the midst of this. Chapter 11, verse 36. Some of the heroes of the faith, some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. It's coming your way, Hebrews. They haven't made a mistake, these people who faced jeers and flogging. No, they're in the right team. They've got faith in the one who's invisible. And that's right, that's good. In your struggle against sin, verse 4, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Now in verse 1, he said, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And then he's speaking about our personal sin that we need to fight the battle with in our lives. But here in verse 3, here in verse 4, he's moving back to that idea from chapter 10, verse 32, about the opposition from sinful people. And that's, we know that because he's got in that progression from verse 3 to verse 4. Consider him, verse 3, Jesus. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, like Jesus, against this opposition that comes from sinful people, we're in this marathon race that Jesus has run before us, and we too will face opposition because of it. And he says, you've got further to go. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Jesus went that far. He had to shed his blood. You haven't had to. There's further you can go in this. Be bolder. There's more we can do. Be bolder in your witness. And here's why. Seeing opposition as our Father's plan for transformation. Seeing opposition as our Father's plan for transformation. God is our loving Heavenly Father. He shapes our lives for good. Good according to his terms. Now you and me, we think our version of good is something like this. A bigger house, a bigger salary, a bigger car. Better health, a better job, a better sofa, a better TV. That's our version of good, isn't it? But God isn't bothered in any of that. God's version of good is for you and me, more like Jesus. More like Jesus. More like Jesus. Maybe that means smaller house, smaller salary, smaller car, worse health, worse job, worse sofa, worse TV. Verse 5. Have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, and this is from Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Now, at this point, we've got to pause for a moment and note that human fathers have not always got it right, have they? And maybe your father got it very wrong. I'm sorry to hear that, if that's the case. Please, trust God to be the father who gets it right. And the point here is that as someone who trusts in Jesus, we have a new relationship with God, where we become his child, and he is our father. And that is a relationship which means that there is, from him and in our lives, love, security, value, inheritance, as the writer keeps reminding us. As Dan Walker said in that interview, I know I'm valued. Why? Because we have a heavenly father. We're in this new relationship, father-child. And with that love, security, value, and inheritance comes, says the writer, discipline, training, transformation. Once upon a time, I used to fly aeroplanes for a living. And back in 1993, I was on a training flight. I was the one doing the training, learning. On a TriStar, coming back from Tenerife to Gatwick. And I was working very hard. It was my sector. I was slightly overloaded. And I managed to fly us a bit too close to a storm. And it was quite fun. It was very dark. And the whole windscreen lit up with something called St. Elmo's Fire. It's like lightning going across your windscreen. It's very exciting, unless you're the pilot who's a bit overloaded and trying to work out what's going on. And you might say, well, why didn't the training captain notice all that earlier and stop it happening? And he did notice it, but he knew we were safe, so he let me go on. And the reason is because I had to learn. I had to go through that tricky situation, being overloaded and all that stuff, so that I could learn, and another day, be less overloaded, stay further away from storms and that kind of thing. It was a hard situation. I was sweating a lot. I wouldn't have been a pleasant person to sit next to afterwards, but but it was worth it for the training. A perfect learning experience. Unforgettable, but good for training. And so God, our loving Heavenly Father, allows us to face hardship through opposition so that we grow to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's not talking here about suffering, like suffering through illness or through natural disaster. And the Bible addresses that perhaps in different ways. Here he's speaking about that which comes through the opposition of people who don't believe in Jesus. Verse 8, he says, if you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters. In other words, it's something we all face. Every believer is going to have this. If you've had a swimmingly easy life as a believer, well, perhaps you're not actually trusting in Jesus. Because trusting in him, you'd want to speak of him in some way or another, or show it in your life, and that's going to bring opposition. Verse 9. Moreover, he says, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? When a good human father is training and teaching his children, setting boundaries in their lives and enforcing them, we're not talking beating children here, I'm afraid. If that's your culture, I don't think that's what he's talking about. But setting and enforcing boundaries, being a good human father, we can appreciate that. How much more our Heavenly Father? How much more our Heavenly Father? See, we need to be people who see opposition as our Father's plan for transformation. So be bolder in your witness, seeing opposition as our Father's plan for transformation, even though it's difficult. Even though it's difficult. He knows. The writer is not living in some cloud cuckoo land where everything's easy. Hardship speaks for itself, doesn't it? It's hard. Verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. He's been there. They've been there. He's speaking honestly here. You've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. That's a real possibility, verse 4. What do we expect in our Christian lives? There is a false kind of Christianity that says this. Jesus wants the best for you. And the best is that you're healthy and wealthy and comfortable. Jesus wants the best for you. The best is this, therefore, Jesus wants you to be healthy, wealthy and comfortable. And the writer says, absolute twaddle. You will not find that in the scriptures. That's a false Christianity. Chains and imprisonment are not comfortable, but they may well come if you're faithful to Jesus. Perhaps not in this country yet, but across the world, our brothers and sisters face chains and imprisonment for being faithful to Jesus. Even a meeting for a Sunday service in China could end you up with chains and imprisonment. Dan Walker says he's developed the skin of a rhino. He didn't have it initially, he's developed it. He's had to go through hardship to have that skin of a rhino. And if you've seen some of the stuff that people have written about him, you'll understand why. It's difficult. And God knows, as our Heavenly Father, and he's honest and he cares about it. Be bolder in your witness, seeing opposition as our Father's plan for transformation, even though it's difficult, so that we grow in holiness. So that we grow in holiness. God has got a plan for your life. Yes, his goal for your life is greater maturity in Jesus. It was there in Romans 8 that I read at the beginning of the service. To become more and more like Jesus, conform to the image of his Son. And that brings glory to God in our lives. As we reflect more what it is like to be a follower of Jesus, and we reflect the Lord Jesus in our lives more. Verse 10, they, our human fathers, the good ones, disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Wow. And here, talking about holiness, he's talking about practical holiness. So previously in Hebrews, he's spoken about the holiness, the righteousness that comes by faith in God because of what Jesus done on the cross. So we couldn't approach God at all if we were not righteous. And the only way we can be righteous or holy enough to approach God is by Jesus giving us that through his death on the cross. We couldn't earn it ourselves. So I could try all this week to be ever so holy. And I do try all this week, but I still wouldn't be good enough because there's a way I still fall short of what God wants. And he's right. So that kind of holiness that we need to approach God, we get by grace through faith in Jesus, because Jesus died on the cross and he's alive and our Lord and Saviour. Hallelujah, yeah? Now, there's another kind of holiness, which is that which we live out in our lives and what you can see of me and I can see of you and other people see of us. And this is what we can share in more as we are brought to greater maturity as we go through hardships, through opposition. He goes on, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but faithful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Isn't that what we want? That harvest from God of righteousness and peace. Well, the writer says, in your struggle, you haven't yet resisted. Be bolder. Be bolder. With each other's help. We're not on our own in this. With each other's help. And this is a wonderful way that he ends the passage. Therefore, he says, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And we as Western individuals, we just sit there in our little bubble thinking, oh golly, I've got to go to the Christian gym more. But we don't notice that, because our language doesn't let us see it, unfortunately, that these yours and yous are plural. This is a message for the church. This is a message for us as a body of believers. Strengthen each other. Help each other with this. Is there one of us who's struggling with some opposition at work? Let's get together and help them. Let's encourage them and support them. Are you struggling with your family? Share it with your growth group. Why do I keep banging on about growth groups? Because that's how we grow in Jesus. Not just by doing something on a Sunday, but by sharing our lives during the week around God's word, hearing about the stories of what's happening in our families so that we can pray for each other, so that we can help each other, so that we can strengthen each other's feeble arms and weak knees, make level paths for each other's feet, so that those amongst us who are struggling may not be disabled, but rather healed. So, be bolder in your witness, seeing opposition as our Father's plan for transformation, even though it's difficult, so that we grow in holiness with each other's help. Okay, well, what about the opposition in our lives? If we believe in Jesus, we want to live for him, and that will lead to clashes with the world around us. There's several types of opposition, different places we can experience it. There's the kind of society opposition. It used to be that Christians were seen as basically benign and helpful. These days, if you say you believe in Jesus, perhaps society as a whole would think of us as a bit more dodgy and unhelpful. There's the workplace. Maybe in your workplace, you can't do some things because of your conscience and what you believe about what Jesus wants. Maybe like Dan Walker, you want Sundays free, and that's difficult. Or maybe there's nasty banter going on because of what you believe. A bit harder for people to do that at the moment over Zoom, but maybe it happens anyway. So there's society, there's the workplace, there's our friends. And it's funny, isn't it? We have these relationships with friends who don't trust in Jesus, and it's a sort of there's an imbalance in the relationship. We sort of hold back, don't we, sometimes, just because we think, well, if I say something, I might lose that relationship. I think our friends are a little bit more loving than that sometimes. We fear rejection, perhaps. Perhaps we're used to a bit of mockery from our friends because of what we believe. And then it does go to that phase, doesn't it, where there are some former friends who are nasty on social media and WhatsApp and gossip and that kind of thing. There's that kind of opposition. society, workplace, friends, there's family as well, and lots of as you experience that from your families. Maybe an antagonistic spouse. Maybe you're isolated from family activities because you're a believer in Jesus. I wonder what you face in terms of opposition. It's tempting to hold back because of this, to avoid the difficulty that can come with saying something, with standing for what you believe Jesus wants. But the writer's encouraging us, isn't he? Be bolder. Be more bold. Perhaps there's a situation in one of those places where at the moment you're hiding, really, you're silent. Can you carefully, gently, with prayer, with the support of one of our groups here, I should mention, as well as the evening growth groups, we have daytime Bible studies which can perform the same function. Perhaps with their help, prepare and pray for some time when you can stick your head above the parapet in that situation. Maybe even in the way you think about this, be bolder. Sometimes we think, oh, why is this hardship happening? What have I done wrong? But hang on, stop, change that. Why is this hardship happening? Because I'm a child of God. And God is at work in my life. There's a new way of thinking about what's going on at work, perhaps. God is at work, a loving Heavenly Father who wants more holiness in me. He knows it's hard. And be bolder. God is at work, transforming us to holiness. And get yourself more support from us. Is there an area you're experiencing this kind of opposition? Or would you like to do something that would lead to that kind of opposition? Get support from us. Join one of those groups. It's a safe place for that kind of support. Well, you can talk about it, get some wise thoughts from others, pray, comfort when it is hard, maybe some help beyond the situation for you. So when we face opposition, it could be something that would hamstring our faith or destroy us. There's an alternative, and this is that it is part of God's plan for us. Our plan for us to face that opposition with Him. To face that opposition with our eyes fixed on Jesus. To face that opposition with a bold faith, like those in chapter 11, whose weakness was turned to strength. A plan for us to grow in our Lord Jesus, even though it's difficult. Be bolder in our witness, seeing opposition as our Father's plan for transformation, even though it's difficult, so that we grow in holiness with each other's help. And who wouldn't want more of our Father's holiness and that harvest of righteousness and peace in our lives? Let's pray. Let's take a moment of quiet just to bring to the Lord in our hearts perhaps places in our lives where we've known this kind of difficulty. And perhaps we need to bring them before Him and lay them before Him in a different way, seeing His loving hand in those situations as a Father who wishes, who wants us to be more and more like Christ, and who take us with us through this for that. Heavenly Father, thank you that we're not alone in any of this. Thank you that as we fix our eyes on Jesus, He's been there already, and He's alongside us, and you are our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, we look forward to growth in holiness. We long for that we will be more like Jesus. And so we pray you'd help us, and anyone in particular who is facing difficulty because of their trust in you. Help us strengthen us. Help us to strengthen each other. Be with us in this endeavour, that we might honour Jesus, that more people would hear of Him. He'd be glorified in our society, in our workplaces, in our friendships and homes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as ever, when we hear about something tricky in Scripture, the opportunity is there for you to get in touch with me or anyone else here at St. Lawrence, really, to follow it up. If you are not in one of our midweek groups and you'd like to join, please think about that seriously and get in touch. We can find somewhere for you to slot in and get that support and help.